Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment presents The Process. Welcome back to your home for football and fantasy football, where we learn, scout, win, and repeat. Time to continue The Process, live and in effect. It is your host, Ralph. I'm excited to be here, as I say every week, because football is exciting every week, but we get to talk about Week 15 NFL football action. Let's do it. Welcome to everybody. Repeat offenders, first-time offenders, love you all. Excited to continue the process today. We had an awesome week last week. Talked a lot about stepping the game up monetarily on the DraftKings there, going after some of the big stuff. Because the stakes are higher now. We're in the playoffs. The season's progressing. We knew who stinks and who doesn't at this point. Time to take advantage. So we stepped it up on DraftKings. And hopefully you guys, see, this is why if you're a listener in the podcast, if you don't do the Twitter or the Facebook, you might miss out. We had a last-minute adjustment. Saturday evening, I had an epiphany. Last-minute adjustment, sent the tweet out advising two different things. Godwin in week 8, I know I'm saying that incorrectly, but not a great play. By the way, if you watch that game, just barely missed the end zone. He could have had a touchdown and could have paid off. But at 4K, once we heard about Jamal Williams being out, we knew to go get the free square. We ended up on the wrong guy. No one was talking about Reynolds. I don't want to hear about Schefter's, whatever. I don't want to hear it. No one was talking about Reynolds, but we took an educated guess that didn't pay out. If you saw the tweet, I said, do that in the cash game, along with Jimmy Garoppolo. Once we heard Deebo Samuel was playing, not worth it to add Deebo. Wanted to see what he had coming back from the injury. But being out there, as we've spoken about in weeks past, gives that offense the opportunity to work differently, to show you different looks. IU comes in at tight end. Samuel goes back to running back. Juszczyk goes up to, you know, wide receiver. That's a crazy look because most teams just want to see what you do. They might call a timeout. They might not hike the ball there, but they got plays that they run successfully out of that. And so all that's back in play now. So when we saw that, made the notation to go to Jimmy G to pay down because we only had two options for cash games last week. Lamar Jackson, which was a bust, and Allen, 40-some points. So that worked out if you did that. Hopefully, maybe you're one of the people who didn't see the tweet, didn't go down to Jimmy, and you end up rolling with Allen and made it work, and it worked out for you. But I was finding a lot of difficulty going through it and gelling with the lineup that I had with Allen, and so went back, made those adjustments, and we just nailed it. We just absolutely nailed it. And so excited that we were able to produce last week in such a big fashion. You know, Jamar Chase took us to the glory land too, made up for some of the other cash game things that didn't go correctly. But, you know, it's not about style points. You don't get extra points for winning this way or that way. That's why the Godwin pick doesn't matter, because we were able to use that, pair down with Jimmy G, and open up a world of opportunities that paid off. And so that was the trick to last week. There's going to be a different trick to this week because things are different. We've got a whole new ball game, as is the case with the NFL from week to week. This week, we're all up against everything as usual, but now COVID too, right? Like, this is becoming a war of attrition. We've got games moving, times moving. There was supposed to be some football today. We're going to get a little football in just a bit here between New England and the Colts, but it was very possible not going to happen. I mean, we've got to think about this from now on, unfortunately. And as you guys know, I like to keep it about the football in here, but the reality is things aren't going away with these variants. And so as they continue to, you know, wade through that, we're going to have to weather that storm. You got to think about your guys having 2 weeks off now, the bye week and the COVID bye. Like, all these guys are going to get it once, apparently, is what my thought process is after watching this unfold. And so it's a tough week for a lot of us. But quite simply, we can't cry about it. We've got to do our best. We've got to do our best. You've got guys that are injured, guys on the COVID list. You made it to the playoffs. You can't use them now. There's nothing we can do about that. So we just got to do our best. And we got to go get this thing. We really got to go get this thing. And so I'm going to help you be as crafty as possible. If you're new to the process, this is what we're talking about week in and week out. What you doing? Because over here, we're just winning fantasy football, crushing season long, you know, doubling up our money on DraftKings every week. I hear so many people say that that site's a scam. You can't win money, consistently, whatever. We've got it. We've got it. So if you're wondering, what is this show about? That's what it's about. Fantasy football, season-long football, daily fantasy football, crushing it to the tune of doubling up every week, playing 70% of our, you know, whatever we want to play, and double ups 30% in tournaments. So you have some upside. You can go try to get that. But really understanding single entry, keep it to 100 people or so, using these little tips to isolate that app into the corner that we want to push it into to pull back just a little bit of money every Sunday. That's what we're talking about, in addition to beating up everybody in your fantasy football league, because we do that here too. Sorry, Grandma. Sorry, Auntie Joan. You can't win this year or ever because this person now has the process. And so part of the process is me doing the long work that you can't. I'm going to give you some tips for this week to get through week 15 that I think are more, they're very important, but they're very simple. Number one, keep looking for updated information. I'm talking about the injuries, of course, but game days being moved and times, etc. Now we're into Tuesday for this week. We've got games on Tuesday. So that's what I mean when I say, keep looking for these updates. You've got to stay ahead of it. Tip two is you've got to be diligent. That's how you're going to get through this week. Every week is different. Last week was about paying attention up until the last minute, making some changes that worked out for us. And season long, we just wrote out the things we said and it worked. Hopefully that was the case for you too. I want some crushers. But this is how we win this week. You've got to be diligent up to the last moment. You got to look and see who's playing up to the last moment. Don't go out and do Christmas shopping and refuse to look at your phone even once, because it's going to knock you all the way back down the hill that we've been climbing, the metaphorical hill we've climbed all year. You're almost at the top. You're almost there. You're going to tumble back down. You're going to lose the league. You're going to do all this stuff because COVID this week. So you've got to be diligent. That's the best advice I can give you for week 15 of football action. On top of that, don't take too many chances in seasonal. We know what got us there. What I mean by that is you got players coming back, right? Like I've got Michael Carter coming back, and this is why we held him, right? We want to hold on to this, but we can't play. This is part of the process. We're just sticking to our guns. One of our cardinal rules is we can't play, in most scenarios, a player just coming back from an injury. We've got to see it first. We've got to see the commitment to him again, especially this late in the season. So don't take too many chances is the best advice I can give you for seasonal this week, because we've got to go get this chip, this championship. Period. It's close. I hope you guys made the playoffs. I realize there's some crushers out there. Tweet me, tell me your sad stories. We can retweet it. That sucks. We'll all commiserate together. But hopefully you made it. I was in some tight leagues this year. Hooray for competition. What's the competition? People are getting stronger, so we're getting stronger. But the competition was fierce. One of my leagues this year, guys, believe it or not, 12 people in this league, right? It's like I could either finish in fourth or just be out of the playoffs, period. Down to the third bowl, right? And so it came down to Monday night. It came down to Sony Michelle. Just don't get 17 points. And it worked out for me just by a little bit. But we're talking about the other person on the other end of that spectrum, right? Now they're out of the playoffs too. It's that time of year. And so we got to buckle down and go get it. As far as DFS goes, pay attention when I give you that information at the end of the show. Because, as we talked about, every week is different. This week, we have very few cash game options. Super narrow window, thanks to all this COVID stuff taking most of... We're just talking about the main slate, right? So, very narrow window for cash games, but many tournament options. And so, spider effect. We want to fling this web out and see what we can bring back. That's how we're going to attack this week and get into this information. Now, before we do, for the new folks, this is, guys, this is how you keep up with us. It's how you stay involved with Tiger Bomb. Knowing how to find us, first and foremost, our website, www.tigerbombsae.com. You can go there, click on the process page. You can listen to this podcast there. The golden rules that we follow for DFS are posted there perpetually for you. So go take a look at them. You could also listen to us on Spotify or iTunes. Perhaps you're doing that. If you're not, maybe you're listening on the website. You could listen in your apps that you listen to everything else on if you want to do it on the go. So everywhere you listen to your, you know, podcast, just search for Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment. This will pop up. You know, like and subscribe. That way you can catch all the episodes. You would catch the other stuff here too. True crime, you know, with our What Happened podcast. Same thing from the TigerBombSAE.com website. True crime pages over there too. So a lot of ways to keep up with everything we're doing here. Facebook and Twitter, as I mentioned, so critical if you want updates, last minute stuff. I'm so glad some of you have decided to take me up on that more frequently. I don't mind getting pepper with this stuff. Sunday before lock, Saturday evening before lock. That's what we put it out there for. And so, and I'm in mode. This is when I've most done the research and have completed it so I can give you the most effective answer. So glad we were able to help some listeners last week. Hope we can help more listeners this week. Don't be afraid to do it. Facebook or Twitter, you can find us the same way, at The Process, TBSAE. You can email me if you wish. For whatever reason, the process at TigerBombSAE.com. Okay, that's the important stuff. Let's dive into week 15 and go get it. And now it's time for the process to reload. Well, let's not waste any time. We've got a lot to cover in terms of NFL action this week. We can start with a quick look at Thursday. Kansas City over the Chargers, and Kansas City rolling again, back on top of the AFC, riding the ship. Not going to talk a lot about it because you saw it was in live action, but with this thing, with this team, it seems to be that things run through Travis Kelce. It seems to be that that's where the starting point is. And so if he's healthy and he's rolling, it really opens up everything else for this team. And so we got back to that, as you saw with the phenomenal game by him to help Kansas City ice it in OT in a game that the Chargers felt they could have won. Eckler, not being 100% and not therefore being able to be unleashed, probably plays into a little bit of a from that vantage point, if you will. But Parham having that gruesome play, I feel, here he's leaving the hospital, that's great. There was a lot of action, a lot of exciting moments at this game, but the takeaway is this: both these teams will probably make the playoffs, and so the Chargers are going to have to figure out if this is the version of Kansas City that persist, you know, then if Heckler's 100%, can you do it, right? Or is there something else holding you back? But good action there as the Chiefs prevail. And so we'll move forward into today's action. Reload, getting to New England at Indianapolis. Should be a fun one. So sorry, guys. My allergies are killing me. It's just warmed up crazy here in Los Angeles. So, like, the temperature fluctuated like 20, 30 degrees in a couple of hours. It's driving me crazy. But anyways, doing my best. New England, Indianapolis. very good defensive game. Both teams going to bring it to that effect. New England probably be able to exploit Indianapolis a little bit more through the air, so possible we'll see Mac Jones do a little bit more. They've got a pretty good run defense, do the Colts. Harris is also out, and so Ramon Stevenson, it's his game from there. But I ultimately think that it's a tough matchup on the ground. And so Jacoby Myers, you know, Kendrick Bourne, these guys, they're in play. Certainly, I don't know, maybe playing that one game slate or whatever. But you've got to consider Hunter Henry, right? They're going to try to move the ball with him, of course. New England's defense, stellar group, obviously in play. On the other side, Indianapolis, their defense is going to show up, but you know what they want to do is run the ball. They should have room to run the ball. This is a game they feel that they can win if they run the ball. So we're going to see a lot of Taylor. He's going to get the football as much as possible. That's also a better matchup for them. I don't see Pittman being too effective versus J.C. Jackson in this New England secondary and defense. They'll probably put a kibosh on most of what Wentz and company wants to do there. Maybe they get some success off play action, but they're going to have to try to impose their will on the ground. We'll see if Bill has enough to stop it. I know that they've rolled over a lot of teams recently, but I'm going to go against Indianapolis at home here, even though they've got Taylor and they're running the ball well. I'm going to say New England finds a way to win this one on the road. Reload on a Sunday. Carolina at Buffalo. Carolina's not a bad unit defensively, especially if you consider what they bring in the secondary. And so, you know, as far as like their ability to match up with Buffalo, it looks well, you know, it looks very well. Gilmore, I think, will go up against Diggs, and so I'm a little off Diggs this week, but the rest of the group has a hard task too. Knox probably more in play than some of these receivers. I know Gabriel Davis is the popular thing right now, but because Sanders going down, but I'm just, no, not this week. That's not the easier path. The easier path would be running it. But we know Buffalo doesn't have this great ground game, and so they're going to try with Singletary. They're going to try with Moss, but I'm not sure exactly what that three-headed monster is going to amount to in terms of usability for us, and I don't want you guys guessing on that. But Buffalo will have to try to run, I suppose. But Knox is really what we want from their side of things and their defense. Their defense is going to play pretty well, and I think if they win this game, which I expect them to, that's how they would do it. They shut down this Carolina offense. Cam and company, I don't think they'll be able to, you know, run the ball effectively. Chuba Hubbard, I don't think they'll be able to do it. And so it'll be a tough day for Carolina, even though their defense will come to play. As far as the passing game goes, I don't see a lot there either. And so, you know, Buffalo won't have to do too much. They'll win this one. Reload. Jets at Miami. Okay, so Miami coming off the bye, playing well. It's like you almost hope they didn't cool themselves off a little bit. We've seen that before from teams. And so something to think about. But the run game would be in a great spot here. But they're just non-committal about Gaskin and his primary role. So, you know, we'll recommend him in DFS this week, as you see, but it's going to be a tournament play. We can't go in on a dude that they just won't publicly even go in on. So I don't want to put us in that place, okay? We won't do that. But the run game is in a really good place. Gesicki's also in a really good place, too. Waddle is out because of COVID, right? So he's not going to play. Parker's coming back. They'll try to funnel opportunities to him, but I think the easier path to victory probably lies through Gesicki, right? For Tua, who's been playing well, so I think he can continue to play well by hooking up with him, and then they can run the football. On the Jets side of things, as we mentioned, bringing back Michael Carter, also going to try to move forward with Zach Wilson. Now, I think the Miami defense is getting stronger. It's going to be a tougher game for them trying to pass the ball. I know Crowder's, you know, a lot of people saying he's in play this week. But I don't want any parts of the Jets passing game if I don't have to go there, because it's pretty questionable considering how well Miami's been playing. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. It's a rivalry game. So I don't think that the Jets are going to have a whole lot of success there. Running the ball, a little bit more interesting, probably something that could be done. But it's like, who will get it? Coleman's back from injury. They still have Ty. But also, now you've got Carter in the mix, but he's coming. It's his first game back, so we don't know what type of usage we're looking at yet, right? But ultimately, Jets going to lose this game. Miami's going to keep it moving. Reload. Arizona going to Detroit. Arizona's going to win this football game, and I don't think Kyler Murray's going to have to do too much to do it. Connor, you could say, still in play, especially seasonal if you have him. You don't have to sit him because he was getting the touchdowns even when Edmonds was healthy. Edmonds is coming back. Edmonds is going to get some run this week. I think Connor still plays, but he gets those goal line touches. So the two of them are in play. As far as the passing game goes, we know Hopkins is out for the regular season at least. So A.J. Green, very likely he catches a touchdown pass. I don't know how much they have to do, though, right? I don't think he has to run up and down the field to be effective. So, but can he touchdown? Yes, absolutely. Ertz has been the benefit whenever there's been injuries to the wide receivers. And so Ertz, I would say, also in a very good spot here against these Lions. And then, you know, the other guys, like, I don't really care for Rondell Moore in this one, but Kirk, you know, sure. You know, those he could also have some success too. Murray could have success on the ground, his legs, but I just don't feel he'll have to do a lot, especially with the injuries that they've had rack up. I think they'll be interested in getting him out of the game. Okay, on to the Detroit side of things. Oh, going to be a tough one for them. Arizona defense definitely in play. Detroit, as far as running the ball goes, I mean, I don't, you know, Arizona's not the best defense to do that against. And so whoever is back there, I'm not taking my stabs. I don't think this week if I don't have to. Hopefully you have better options than that. As far as the pass game goes, I know everybody's very high on Amon-Ra St. Brown now. So, look, it's a matchup thing. He plays in the slot. Denver's more susceptible in the slot. That's what happened. I think this week it goes a little bit back towards Reynolds' way. That's who Goff was connecting with before. So I like him more than I like St. Brown this week. In a game that they will have to pass, though, right? But we don't want any exposure to that. There's a lot of pressure. Goff doesn't do well with pressure. So who knows what type of production we could expect there in a game that they will lose. Reload. So sorry, guys. It's getting stuffy for me, but we'll keep going. Houston and Jacksonville. Houston, literally going to try to walk in here and get them off of the heels of Urban Meyer's firing. Crazy tumultuous stuff. I mean, from the kicking of the Lambeau to just the way he handled himself all year, the way things have gone down for that team could not be sadder. There's been no maturation for Lawrence, which is incredibly sad. All of that can be changed now that Urban Meyer is gone. Probably wasn't the best leader, and so they'll move forward. I don't like picking on a team where there's a leadership change because we don't know what type of things are going to exactly be different and how they'll be different, but we do know that James Robinson should get the run. He's in a great place this week. I'm not going to look to Lawrence or any of the passing pieces. I don't know what they, you know, can bring there. I started out liking the idea that maybe Houston defense would be a viable pick this week, but then Urban got fired, right? And so now I think that Jacksonville will play a little bit better, for lack of a better term. So I'm not all Houston defense. Houston's offense, though, David Johnson would appear to be in a great spot. He's David Johnson, though, so there's going to be limited production there. As far as everything else, Houston, you know, Cooks, might look to Cooks, but outside of that, not a lot going. Mills is going to have pressure from Jacksonville defense, though. Like, they're not terrible at putting pressure on, so it's not going to be a cakewalk for him, basically. As far as anything else, not looking to Houston. Jacksonville, not looking there. You can take a stab on that defense, though. I think they win this game off the heels of the running game, though. guys, let's try it again. See if we can't get through this. Sorry, I'm feeling under the weather all of a sudden. The last thing I reloaded away from it, but the last thing I'll say about Jacksonville and Houston is that Cooks seems to have, you know, been able to produce despite whoever is at quarterback. However, I don't think we can go to him in cash games this week like we've done sometimes, right? I don't think we can do that this week because Jacksonville has a sneaky, decent, you know, rush, and they blitz a lot. And so pressure on Mills, I think, is going to create some issues there. But David Johnson, you know, in play for season long if you got to go there. All right, okay. Now we can officially move on to Dallas at the Giants. And so Dallas defense getting healthy, getting, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence, some other guys back from injury, COVID. So the defense, the pass rush is there. It's real. Danny Dimes would have problems if he was playing, but he's not playing. Mike Glennon is going to get another start, and that's not going to go well. I was thirst for Fromm, man. I wanted some Fromm time. I was going to be able to say, you heard it here first when he snapped off, but that's not what happened. They didn't play him. They played Glennon, and it went as we would expect with Glennon. So more of the same, especially with this pass rush coming. So, you know, Barkley, this is a downgrade for him because it's not a great matchup. I mean, he's going to have to try to run, but I don't see him, you know, going crazy all over Dallas, considering that the passing offense is probably not going to help put him in a great place. Even those receivers that are back, I don't think Glennon's going to be able to enable them. There's not a lot of chemistry. These guys haven't played together yet. And so, very murky, the Dallas defense is looking great, right? Schultz kind of in play. Maybe he catches a touchdown, but they don't need him to move up and down the field. I think Bradbury takes Cooper and shadows him. He does real well against those big bodies. You know, probably negate Cooper. I think if we went to him last week too, should have put him in the cash game, but just knew to go to him. And I fit him in a lot of places. That was a great idea. This week, I think it's a little tougher for him, but Lamb in a great spot. I think even Gallup, you know, you can go to him too for sure, as we will. But those are the guys that are in play. Zeke is in play, but I just don't know how much that they'll lean on him, wanting him available for the playoffs. We know that Pollard's a little banged up. He'll probably play, but I'm thinking with the running game a little banged up, maybe they exploit the pass a bit more and let Dak handle it, get busy a little bit. And so those would be the guys that he would go to. Reload. On to, they're going to win that game, right? Yeah, on to Tennessee and Pittsburgh. Okay. Tennessee on the road, getting back Bud Dupree, the former Pittsburgh Steeler. He's going to be motivated in this one. Not because he's a bad split or anything like that, but he's a great player. He knows Ben Roethlisberger's tendencies probably. Should be a difference maker. I think that in this game, Tennessee's defense takes a step forward. This is why I want to go with Ben, as I've done at least 1 week before. This is why I'm downgrading Deontay Johnson and Claypool, because there's going to be pressure. Ben does not do well with pressure. His A-dot is already terrible. I can see a lot of turnovers. The Tennessee defense, if you want to play them, I don't have a problem with that. They're in play here as they get healthy. Foreman, Dante Foreman, we identified him last week. Ended up not going with it myself, but I really hope you guys listened to me and paid off. But this week, he's still the lead guy. I still like him, but a little less just because there's going to be more popularity in terms of DFS. Season long, if you got it and you need it, go for it and feel fine about it. The matchup isn't terrible or anything like that. Julio Jones, going to stay limited pretty much is what they said. So don't expect some crazy bust out from him. They just want to make sure that he's around for the playoffs, right? They know he knows how to play football. So, you know, just enough opportunities to make sure that he's alive. But I don't think he sets the world on fire, right? And so Westbrook Ekanine, or whatever his I always get that one wrong too. You know, maybe in play, but I don't want to go there if I don't have to. But certainly if you need to, probably in play. You know, Tannehill should be okay here. I don't think Pittsburgh is getting pressure right? So he should be fine. They're going to win this game, but it's going to be more on the heels of the defense shutting down Pittsburgh's offense, I think. And as far as the Tennessee players go, that's it. What we talked about right there, not really a lot that you want outside of their defense. They'll find a way to get it done. I mean, Foreman, you could stack Foreman in the defense, but don't go crazy with it. Reload. Cincinnati at Denver Sunday afternoon. Now, this should be a fun one. Cincinnati on the road. Cincinnati is going to have a tougher time through the air. Denver's a pretty good defense, but they, you know, Ja'Marr Chase can get him over the top of anybody. And Denver will give up a big play here and there, so that's possible. As far as the under receiving stuff goes, I think maybe you know, the way to attack Denver is just like the Lions did with Amon-Ra St. Brown, is go through the slot. So Boyd probably in play more so than anybody else, more so than Chase than anybody else. We're going to use him in our cash game this week because I feel that way. So Boyd in play along with you know, getting it from his guy Burrow. Burrow should, you know, he has the weapons. He has the weapons. I think he'll have limited opportunity to get, you know, get the ball around. Now, they'll run it with Mixon. Denver's fairly decent against the run, too. I mean, it's going to be a tougher sledding kind of day for Cincinnati, but they've got the weapons to do this. It'll be about whether their defense can hold up and actually win the game for them. And I think that it will be able to, because Denver is, you know, iffy. They're up and down. Teddy B can't activate all the receivers. Maybe Judy has a decent day. The rest of these guys won't be effective. The tight ends probably are in a good spot, but they split production, so we can't use that. Denver is probably going to try to lean on the run. Both Gordon and Javonte Williams, after both of them had big games last week, both of them going to have big games this week. I don't see why we can't use both of them in the tournament in the same lineup, because that's what Denver's doing. So if that works, then Denver probably wins the football game. Their defense not in a terrible spot, because Joe Burrow actually has been committing a lot of turnovers, and so quite easily they could nab one of those, pick six, something like that for sure. Would not put that out of the card. So, you know, when it comes down to it, I'm going to say that Cincinnati finds a way to win this one via the pass on the road, but it's going to be a tough football game, and Denver's running game is in play along with, you know, maybe those tight ends, I suppose. Reload. Atlanta at San Francisco. So this one should be an interesting one. Atlanta's not terrible on defense. They're not great, but they're not terrible at certain things. And so when you look at the way to beat them, probably going to be maybe just a little bit easier, you know, through the air. But certainly they can be had on the ground a bit too. Atlanta, they'll have their moments, but you can get them. Deebo Samuel's in play. Jeff Wilson Jr. probably going to get most of the run and get backed up by Jamichael Hasty. I know he didn't have a great outing last week, but it should be better this week. I'm okay to go back to it because of the design, the scheme, the offense, the coach. We know all that stuff works. We've seen Jeff Wilson Jr. have success before. No reason to believe that he's all of a sudden forgotten how to be an NFL player. So I'm okay with that because that's how they win. But Kittle's in play. I don't think Ayuk's in play. They won't need to do all that much. On the other side of things, as far as Atlanta goes, you know, the running game is probably less inclined to be successful against the San Francisco defense as the passing game. So Cordell Patterson, I mean, I'll recommend them, but only as a tournament pairing with Ryan and also with not Kyle Pitts. Sorry, we're not going to use Kyle Pitts. I'm blanking at the moment. Gage. That's who we're going to go with because he's our cash game quarterback or wide receiver this week. So Gage should be able to find opportunities out in the secondary. San Francisco secondary is terrible, and he's kind of the number one wide receiver because of the way Patterson is used. So we like Gage, but Patterson, like I said, I'll use him in that tournament lineup, even though you guys know that's not really my dig, playing him week to week to week, right? Atlanta's going to lose that game. But we're just hoping that in garbage time, Ryan can activate himself and those guys enough to do something for us. But ultimately, on the other side of things, Jimmy G took us to victory last week. I don't want to do it this week because I feel like for cash games, it's going to be too popular. But he is available, and we might end up doing it. We might have to do it in the next game. We're going to talk about the reasoning of why we might have to do that. But Jimmy G, Kittle, Samuel, book it. Reload, Green Bay at Baltimore. This is the game. So, look, Lamar questionable. Really should be doubtful. I don't think he's going to play. If he doesn't play, we want to play Huntley in cash games. That's what we want to do. If he does play, I think he's a little too expensive, especially considering he's banged up for DFS purposes. In real life, or I'm sorry, in season long, he's playing, you play him if you have him, right? But Huntley, if you need somebody at quarterback, could do, I guess, if you want. But DFS is where we're going to exploit that. The reason why I'm saying, you know, I may not go with Garoppolo is because if Lamar doesn't play, I want to play Huntley. I think that's a great price. Green Bay is terrible against running quarterbacks, as Fields helped demonstrate, among others, this year. So I want to take advantage of that perfectly. Not with a high-priced Lamar Jackson and, you know, banged up from injuries and stuff. I don't know that. But Huntley, I think he'll have to, because the Green Bay secondary is pretty decent. Their defense is pretty decent. So he'll have to do what gives him a best chance to being successful, which is that. So I'm watching that until lock, because I want to go with him. If I can't use him for cash games, I want to go with Aaron Rodgers. Look, Ravens are depleted. They already were depleted, but now they lost Westry. They don't have a lot of folks. They don't have a lot of players left. And so stringing together enough in the secondary is going to be tough for them, but they're really good against the run. So less inclined for Dylan and Jones DFS-wise. If you got him in seasonal, obviously you got to play him. But less inclined for DFS to go with the running game or those guys. We want to exploit the passing game. So, you know, Valdez-Scantling in play, Lazard even in play. But I think you pair him with Rodgers in a tournament. But as far as cash games go, yeah, if we hear that Lamar is going to play, then I'm going to play Rodgers, I think. But if he doesn't play, then I'm going to play Huntley. Now, that's the way the game's going to go. I think if Lamar plays, then Baltimore, you know what? I'm going to say either way, Green Bay wins this game. Too much in the secondary for Baltimore to overcome. Reload. On to the Sunday night game. We got the Saints going to visit Terrific Tom and the Tampa Bay Brady's, the Buccaneers. Look, so Peyton might not be coaching. He's got the COVID tested positive, so we have to see what's going on there. One of those games has been ravaged by that, so not really sure what to expect. I would assume that New Orleans is going to get the ball to Kamara and swing passes. Tampa Bay not great against defending pass against running backs, so from that perspective, he's in play. Ingram much less in play. But we know Tampa Bay is a pass funnel sort of a defense. And so you hope Taysom Hill can hit Troutman or Tre'Quan Smith, Deontay Harris. But I don't know. I don't want to get too involved in that. I'm not sure what we see there on the Tampa Bay side of things. You know, going to be tougher on the ground, so you got to go through the air. So Tom should be able to get it done. He's going to lead the way. But, and I know New Orleans plays him tough, but he's going to get this one. He's going to get this one in Tampa Bay. He's going to do it by hooking up with Godwin, Evans. Like, I don't think there will be any issue getting the ball to these guys. Gronk's in play for sure here. I like Gronk a lot in this game. Tampa Bay defense is in play. In the game that team is going to win, reload. All right, Vegas going to Cleveland. This is on Monday now, Monday afternoon, basically for me, 2 p.m., 5 p.m. on the East Coast. Vegas going to Cleveland. Cleveland's just going to run the football, right? Like, you know, especially with, you know, Jarvis Landry. I don't know if he's going to play, not play, but, you know, Cleveland's going to run the football. Chubb, he's in play. I wouldn't pick anybody else. From Cleveland. For Vegas, they have a decent pass rush. So Carr's going to have to get it off. Winfrow, you got to play him if he's in seasonal. Probably would stay away from it if it was a larger slate in DFS. It's a smaller slate, though. But it should be viable. I mean, I don't have a problem going there, but Waller's coming back, that's the better play, right? Like, Winfrey, I think, probably doesn't do as well as Waller does if Waller's healthy and ready to go. On the Cleveland side, we talked about Hunt, or I'm sorry, no, Hunt's out. We talked about Chubb. The tight ends, I mean, I guess they're in a good spot, but it's like there's a lot of fluctuation there between COVID and injuries and stuff like that, so not a lot of surety around exactly who's going to get to do what. So I don't think we need to go there in a game that ultimately Cleveland is trying not to melt down. Vegas has had a tough year. I just think that it's, you know, I don't know if they can piece this one together. You know, Jacobs doesn't seem to be in a particularly great spot against the Cleveland defense. I mean, he should be, if you're hoping he gets you 10 points if it's seasonal, right? But that's about it. I'll give this one to Cleveland on the heels of Chubb just running it down Vegas' throat. Reload. On to Monday. And so Minnesota and Chicago. Minnesota also got secondary problems. For them, Breshad Braylon is gone. Like, there's been issues there. Issues with the coach. Issue with teammates in practice. Like, so they just let him go. Like, the GM had to step in. Things were heated this past week. They just let him go. So they are also down in the secondary, and they weren't playing well anyway. So for Fields and company, you hope he can get the ball to his guys, Mooney. You know, that's who you're looking at, Mooney and Robinson. I would say Mooney more than Robinson. I know those other guys have played fairly well, Demarius Byrd and company, but you can, you know, take a flyer if you like, but I'm less inclined to believe in that. You don't need to go that deep, I think, as far as this game goes. Montgomery's also in a good spot, too, and we know that the Bears are consistent about that, at least right now. So, you know, that ground game, you know, could do it. They're in a good spot overall because of this Minnesota secondary being so depleted. But, yeah, you can go with Fields and feel fine with it, I think, because he's going to have a lot of options available to him based off of the injuries. The Minnesota side of things, Cousins and company going to try to do their best, but Cook is really the one in play. Jefferson is Jefferson, so he can get his numbers. But outside of that, I think Thielen's going to sit too. But outside of that, it's going to be a little tougher for them. Conklin, it's going to be a little tougher for him. Minnesota will, I think, play the Bears close, rely on Dalvin Cook, and ultimately win a not too high scoring affair where they obviously show up as the, you know, dominant team. Okay. Reload. Washington at Philadelphia. Washington is going to hope that McLaurin can play. If he can, I guess Humphrey's supposed to step in and take all these, you know, looks in the slot. And then also, they've had some issues at tight end. And so we have to look and see who's in, you know, is it Bate or, you know, somebody else? So we have to look and see, but those are traditionally ways to attack Philly. I'm not into it. I'm just going to take the Philly defense instead, I think. So, you know, not looking at much from the Washington side. I know they have in the backfield, it's a little bit more interesting, like especially against Philly. Like perhaps you can catch some passes to Gibson. I do think McKissick's going to be out again. So Gibson in play, you can feel great about that, but I probably don't want to play anything else from Washington. Philadelphia should win this game. Devonta Smith could, you know, be activated by Hurts if he's going to play, but he was on the COVID list last time I checked. So as of right now, probably not playing. Then you would, you know, think that Washington tries or Philadelphia tries to rely on the run a little more, but Washington getting healthier on the line too, getting some guys back. So I think there's going to be less success there. But if you want to, you can take a shot with that, with, you know, these Philadelphia backs, if you like, Miles Sanders. Jordan Howard is out this week, though, so you may not want to include him if you're thinking about going that route. But I mostly believe in the Philadelphia defense to lead the way. Hurts is Hurts. He'll find it, make it happen. But Philadelphia wins that one. And on to our final shot. We'll make it a good one in Seattle at the Rams. And divisional rivalry, so you know you're going to play each other tough. But the Rams, as of this moment, we have to see if they can get Cooper Kupp back. Obviously, he would be in a great place. Van Jefferson also in a great place. Henderson coming off the COVID list. So Henderson should get some run. I like him. He should be good in this one. Rams, as far as the defense goes, we don't know if they're going to have, you know, any of their guys back or not. So it's hard to say. But at this point, I would safely still say they're going to win the game. Stafford, not sure who he's going to have to work with, but Higbee's in play, and certainly Stafford could be too. On the Seattle side of things, it's going to be a tougher day for Russ. The Rams defense should be able to get to him a bit. He's going to have to get it out there quickly. So, get it to Lockett if you can, but I think Lockett is out. So this is what I mean. Like, you got to watch it and see. They've already moved this one back to Tuesday at 4, so definitely pay attention to who's playing. I don't think Seattle has enough, of healthy bodies that are decent football players to actually win this game. I know the Rams are hurting too, but it's going to affect Seattle a little bit more. All right, those are our contests for this week. Hopefully that helps you decide what it is that you need to do and helps us march toward victory. Let's play a round of Would You Rather. For week 15, Michael Pittman Jr. or James Robinson? Robinson. Van Jefferson or Ramondre Stevenson? Stevenson. Brandon Cooks or Ramon Stevenson? Cooks. Devonta Parker or A.J. Dillon? Parker. Jeff Wilson Jr. or Jamar Chase? Wilson Jr. Mike Evans or Ramon Stevenson? Evans. Julio Jones or Ramon Stevenson? Stevenson. Chase Edmonds or Russell Gage? Interesting. I'd say Gage. Julio Jones or Michael Carter? Michael Carter. Cole Beasley or Donta Foreman? Foreman. Brandon Cooks or Mark Andrews? Andrews. Darryl Mooney or Ramon Stevenson? Mooney. Sony Michel or Amon-Ra St. Brown? Probably Amon-Ra. KJ Osborne or Michael Carter? Forgot to mention that the Vikings will be without Thielen again, which is why Osborne's coming up. And so, yes, we could take him over Carter. Chase Edmonds or Michael Pittman Jr.? I would say Chase Edmonds. Saquon Barkley or T. Higgins? Barkley. Ezekiel Elliott or CeeDee Lamb? Lamb. Stephon Diggs? Lamb this week. Stephon Diggs or Leonard Fournette? I would say Fournette. Melvin Gordon III or Michael Gallup? They're both in bad spots, Diggs and Fournette. So anyway, Melvin Gordon III or Michael Gallup? Melvin Gordon. Brandon Cooks or Javonte Williams? I'll take Javonte Williams. Ezekiel Elliott or Amon-Ra St. Brown? Elliott. David Montgomery or Deebo Samuel? I would take Deebo. Dalton Schultz or Michael Carter? I'll take Carter. Miles Sanders or Michael Pittman Jr.? I'll take Miles Sanders. Mike Williams or Sonny Michelle? Well, Mike Williams already played, so... Craig Reynolds or Donovan Peoples-Jones? I'll take Peoples-Jones. Devontae Parker or Ezekiel Elliott? Elliott. Miles Gaskin or Jamar Chase? I will say Chase. Terry McLaurin or Michael Carter? McLaurin if he plays. Brandon Cooks or Rashad Penny? I will say Cooks. Ezekiel Elliott or Darnell Mooney? I will say Mooney. A.J. Green or James Robinson? Robinson. Michael Gallup or Tony Pollard? Gallup. Darrell Henderson Jr. or Mooney? Henderson Jr. A.J. Green or Devontae Freeman? I will say Devontae Freeman. Mike Davis or Russell Gage? Gage. Melvin Gordon III or Amon-Ra St. Brown? Melvin Gordon. Cordell Patterson or Michael Pittman? Patterson. Rashad Penny or D.K. Metcalf? Metcalf. Tyler Coughlin or Darrell Mooney? I would say Mooney. And then lastly, Ayuk or James Robinson? Robinson. That's a little would you rather for this week. Hopefully that helps you guys sort of put in context where I'm thinking you know, certain players rank versus other players. It helps you make some informative decisions. But as always, if you need something along those lines, you're unsure, you know, you can hit us on the Twitter. Peace. And now time for the part of the show where the process goes over our DFS fantasy football picks for the week. We'll go over cash game plays, tournament or GPP plays, and sometimes talk about stacks that you can use to leverage your wins for the week. And now's the time where I give you the good. So for week 15, this is how we'll play it for DFS purposes. For cash games, as I alluded to earlier, Aaron Rodgers, $7,500. Garoppolo's there at $5,800. But if I hear that Lamar Jackson is going to sit, then we'll play Huntley at $5,400. And that's truly where I want to go. Tournament-wise, couple of options. Prescott, $6,500. You know, a lot more upside, I think, because of the injuries to the running game recently. Maybe they will air it out a bit more. Joe Burrow, $6,100. And then Matt Ryan going to take a little bit of a stab at $5,300. Went back and forth with that, but we're going to do it. Okay, running backs. Again, for cash games, remember we said in the opening, it'll be limited options, and then we'll open it up for the tournaments. Cash game options, James Robinson, $5,400. We can pay down and get, I think, great production there. Edmonds, $5,100. And then Jeff Wilson Jr., $5,000. Those are the cash game quarterbacks, or running backs, excuse me, that I'm going to go with. GPPs, here's how we'll play it. Cordell Patterson, $6,900, with the caveat that you're just playing him with Ryan and also with Gage, right? So, in only that scenario, and you build out from there. Next, in tournaments, Javonte Williams, $6,100, and Melvin Gordon, $5,900, together. That's how you'll be different from everybody else. Play them together. There's enough production in that backfield for both backs, and so do a tournament lineup with both of them, and that's what I'm going to do. From there, Myles Gaskin, $5,600. Can't be in the cash games because of the sketchy non-committal games from the Miami coaching staff, but he's in a good spot, and hopefully they're smart enough to use him. Dante Foreman's there too, $5,200. Should be the lead guy in Tennessee, even though Hilliard and these other guys are getting a little work. David Johnson, $4,900 is down there also. Michael Carter, $4,700 is down there too. Makes sense. But don't feel, you know, like you can't pepper in those cash game, you know, running backs into these tournaments, okay? Now, wide receivers. Cash games, three wide receivers. Deebo Samuel, $8,200. We know he's not really a wide receiver. He's going to do a lot of different gadget things. Russell Gage, $5,800. Same game, right? We're expecting them to be down, so they'll have to do something. And then Boyd, $4,900 in the slot versus Denver. Love that price. I don't think anybody else is going to want to go there, but we'll go there. Those are our cash game wide receivers. Now, tournaments, we've got some options. Adams, Davante Adams, up there at $8,900. Has to be a tournament option because I think Rodgers will uncharacteristically be able to spread it out this week. There's so many injuries to the Ravens that he doesn't have to just solely rely on Adams, I don't think. So that's why he's a tournament play, because it's going to be harder for him to pay off the $8,900, even though he should still have a good day. Okay, Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lamb, $7,400 in the tournaments. I like him. He's in a great spot, but again, the Giants are so bad at a lot of things, it's like harder for him to pay off that salary, but we're going to play him with Prescott and Gallup. Jamar Chase, $7,100. Love it in a Burrow lineup, right? Put him with Boyd and build out from there. So Chase has $7,100. He can get one past this Denver defense. They give up a big play every now and then. Okay. From there, Claypool, $5,900. I do think that, you know, Dupree coming back is going to add to this Tennessee defense. I'm worried about Big Ben and what they'll be able to accomplish this Sunday, but Claypool's there, $5,900 in a game where they should be trailing. Maybe he gets some garbage time, but I think they'll have to play some catch-up. Deontay Johnson can't catch it all. And at $7,500, he can't be in cash game this week. He's too expensive. I think in the tournaments, considering the Tennessee defense has been upgraded. Brandon Cooks at $5,800 is there. Gallup at $5,500. And then Valdez-Scantling. We were just talking about the Packers. So $4,900. So you can pair him with Adams. And then Josh Reynolds in Detroit, $4,300. Goff showed a lot of rapport with him already. And so I like that as a pivot versus everybody just popularly going to St. Brown. And then Lazard, 4K down there for your Rodgers stack is available. All right, tight ends, cash games, Mark Andrews, $6,400. Because even with Huntley, he's still going to be the primary option. I don't have a problem with that. But then you can pay down for Dawson Knox if you need at $5,100 for cash games. I think as far as Allen goes, the path to victory does not lie against those receivers. That's going to be a tougher ask in terms of the offense is getting the ball to those receivers. So I think his tight ends in play for the Bills against this Panthers defense. So Dawson Knox can be relied upon. For tournaments, we want to go with Kittle. $7,500, pay up for it. Should be worth the value for sure. He's been balling out if you haven't been watching. And then if you need to go cheaper, Gesicki, 5K. He should be a primary option for Miami against a Jets team that, you know, they don't have Waddle, and the Jets aren't terrible against the wide receivers sometimes. So Gesicki's a safer play. Brings back a lot of upside, I think, this week. But those are the four. And honestly, I'm going to try to stick to Andrews and Kittle everywhere if I can. I should be able to do it because our running backs are pretty cheap this week. And we can pay down with quarterback a lot to get it done. So defense-wise, Cardinals at Detroit, 4K. We can pay up for them because of our savings everywhere else. Cowboys at the Giants, $3,600. That's viable this week. But mostly what I'm doing in cash, I think, is Bills versus Carolina, $3,100. That's a good play. If you need to go down, Broncos versus Cincinnati shouldn't hurt you, $2,900. That should be a good value for a very good Broncos defense that scored a lot of points this year. And Jags are okay if you want to go there, but I don't think I'll need to get there. That's how we're going to win this week. That's how we're going to stay ahead of the curve like we've been and huddle up next week and come back and talk about our glory. So good luck in these semifinals. Hopefully everything is working your way already. You got out of the gate with these first games. You know, if you have Kelsey, if you like me, if you have Kelsey and Eckler, you got out of the gates. Some of these teams, so hopefully that's you. But guys, if you know how to find me if you need help. And we'll just keep winning and circle back next week and go over what we need to do then. Peace. The process is brought to you by Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment.